listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Musician Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 133 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin Bruner, and joining me for the roundtable edition is Chris and the Bolt. How you guys doing?
Hello. Good.
Hey, doing good. Good here.
So lots of stuff going on in the music world these days. So we're going to get to talking about that. But you guys got anything going on interesting of note that you want to share?
I've got a show coming up next week.
Oh, yeah. For those of you that don't know, Chris is in Portland, Maine now. He couldn't stand Portland, Oregon anymore. So
he's in. But I didn't actually want to have to, you know, do the mental work to remember what city I lived in. So I just moved to.
That's true. You know. It's one less thing to remember on your address when you move.
Exactly. So. I do sometimes write OR, though, just by habit, and then I have to scratch it out and put ME for Maine.
Yeah. I'm actually playing an album release show tonight. I'm playing bass of all things. So,
Henry's band.
Cool. Yep. So that should be fun. It's only my second show playing bass, but.
Oh, I have one other thing to mention. I played a couple, maybe 3 weeks ago, I played a show with a longtime podcast listener, Dan Coyle. He was touring through Maine. I think he lives in New York City. So, that was fun. He was, you know, quoting us, and apparently we quoted him at some point. He called in and then he wrote in, and I think one time we agreed with him, whatever he had to say, and then the other time apparently we just laughed at him.
Oh no.
We like to keep it fair and balanced.
Yeah.
And a little bit of ridicule, a little bit of agreement. Cool. Bolt, you were going to say something.
Oh yeah, I was just going to say I'm actually going to the studio tonight to lay down rhythm tracks, so. Excellent. We've all got musical things going on.
Yeah, excellent. Well, lots to talk about. Today we are going to review some news items, some big news items that have been going down. And then we're going to have a little discussion. Recently, iTunes, one of the guys, the head of iTunes, said that music is dead. Kind of an odd quote to hear from the head of iTunes. And so we're going to discuss that, and we'll read his quote and discuss what context he mentioned that in and talk
about it. And then the funeral.
And then we'll never have another podcast again because music is dead.
No, we'll just talk about apps or something.
Yeah.
So lots to talk about. So let's get into the news.
Baby.
Music.
Music.
News.
All right. Here we are with some news. How much Americans listen to music? This is an interesting item. A new survey by Edison Research says Americans listen to 4 hours and 5 minutes of audio each day. Broadcast radio accounted for 52% of all listening time, or just over 2 hours per day. That figure includes time spent listening to online simulcasts from AM or FM stations. Owned music accounted for 20% of listening. Included in this category are CDs, digital downloads, vinyl LPs, and presumably even cassettes. CD listening comprised a significant part of the owned music category, according to Edison Research President Larry Rosen. Streaming services accounted for 12% of listening. Edison calls this category internet radio and includes webcasters like Pandora with on-demand services like Spotify and Beats Music. So kind of an interesting breakdown there. People listening to more broadcast than I would have guessed. I mean, it's still huge, but the owned music versus the streaming, I thought that was probably the most key piece of information in that study.
Almost twice as much.
Yeah, and CDs making up a large portion of that. And, you know, in my mind, it's still the majority of people do listening in their car and at work. But in their car is still a prime spot for listening. And a lot of cars are still outfitted with CDs, and it's easier to just have a CD.
Yeah. Well, you know, that broadcast category, though, probably does include sports radio, talk radio, like NPR News. So it's not all music, but.
That's true. You are correct. But I would say that the owned category is probably all music. So if you were able to siphon off all the sports radio, talk radio folks, then the owned music category, as far as music listening, would make up a significant portion of it, as opposed to Pandora or streaming.
So, right.
There's hope, people. Music's. We're going to talk about music being dead in a little bit, but maybe it's not dead. Maybe iTunes lied to us.
Not if people are listening 4 hours a day.
Moving on, Amazon has officially launched its own smartphone called the Fire Phone. It has a Firefly button that some are calling a dedicated shopping button. The button ties to the phone's camera and lets you scan almost any object and get instant pricing and availability information through Amazon.com. There are no amazing breakthrough features, but the phone is designed to cater specifically to Amazon Prime users who have access to thousands of movies and songs for free, plus the ability to easily buy just about anything that is not available for free to Prime users. So Amazon jumping into the phone game finally, so that makes, we'll say, the third major content provider to have a phone, Google and Apple being the others, and that are tied to some sort of content delivery system. You know, Google would be trailing as number three now because they don't have as much beyond their Google Play service. But interesting development.
Just what I want from a smartphone, so something that's going to cost me even more money because I'm going to be buying stuff easier than everyone.
I mean, if they can get it to take hold even a little bit, it's kind of amazing, like, how genius is it for Amazon, an online store, to actually create a physical presence in people's pockets.
Yeah, it's something that it's been a long time coming. It's not unexpected. They've had the Fire HD for a while that was similar to an iPad, and I have one of those devices as well, and it's a good device. And if it's connected to Amazon and you do a lot of shopping, especially now that they're trying to grow the Prime subscription service, if you're not familiar with it, Amazon Prime kind of originally started as a way to get free shipping all year long for all your Amazon purchases. Most of the things you buy on Amazon would be free shipping if you paid like $75 a year. I think it's now $90 a year. But then they started adding, like, hey, now you can stream a bunch of movies for free if you're a Prime subscriber. And just recently they launched the music portion of that, so you can stream a lot of catalog or a lot of music that's in their catalog, which CD Baby artists' music is not there. And so and that's the same with a lot of artists' music because of questionable terms. I'll just leave it at that.
I was thinking that if you have your Amazon Fire in one pocket and your wallet in the other pocket, it's like the funds transfer somewhat like through your pelvis from one pocket to the other.
That's right. That's right. And secretly, you know how these things go. As you take photos, secretly you're probably actually buying stuff that you didn't really want, and you get home and all this stuff's sitting on your doorstep because the phone's connected to it.
Delivered by a predator drone.
That's right. Yeah. The future is here.
Hopefully not a predator drone.
Yeah, right. Just a regular
just drone. A regular drone.
It drops toothpaste instead of bombs.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. All right. Now we're going to move on to the big news issue. The internet is on fire with this lately. I think it went out this past Monday, but think artists are going crazy. Labels are going crazy, trying to figure out what is going on. And here we go. The internet has gone crazy with the news about YouTube. It's been reported that YouTube is getting ready to release its ad-free music streaming service, but a report from the Financial Times says the company will block videos from any independent artists who don't sign up for the new paid service. According to the report, YouTube will block those indie artists from using all of YouTube, including both the free and paid sections of it. And here's a quote from YouTube. To ensure that all content on the platform is governed by its new contractual terms, according to Robert whatever his last name is, it's C. Kinkle. I think it's Kinkle. Robert Kyncl. Lovely last name. YouTube's head of content and business operations. A source close to YouTube told Business Insider The deal will not affect regular users that post their own songs and videos on their own channels, but will affect musicians signed to multiple record labels in multiple countries. Here's how it works. If artist X from the UK is signed to their friend's indie label in their home country, but also signed to a major record label in the US, you'll be able to watch the video in the US, but not the UK. It goes back to which label is bringing this content to YouTube from which country.
Now, wait a minute. They just said that independent artists are not going to be able to have their music on YouTube unless they sign up for the service. And then they turn around and have a quote that says artists who are signed to more than one label are going to have trouble, but regular artists are not going to have trouble.
Yeah. And first, let me lead off saying that I think almost all the articles you're reading online have it 80 to 90% wrong. So first off, it was funny today. We were setting up to, planning to record this roundtable edition of the podcast, and an artist, Janelle Martins, hit me up on Twitter saying, "Can't wait till you do a roundtable discussing the news about YouTube and its streaming service. People are already going nuts." And I responded saying that I think most people have it wrong and don't understand what's really being said.
Including the people writing the articles.
Yeah, well, that's what her response was. I agree, but a certain blog ran a sensationalistic headline that got repeated ad nauseum through the web. Couple that with no definitive answer from YouTube, it made it hard to see through the BS. Blog who wanted hits from reality, and looking forward to the roundtable. So that was very timely for Janelle to hit me up. And another podcast listener, Philip Clark, he was wanting to know the same question. Regarding YouTube's decision to block indie artists who don't sign up for the subscription service, how does that affect CD Baby? So here's what I know, and then we can discuss briefly opinions. But the key quote to me in all of this is the quote that says, let me grab my piece of paper here again. Where is it? To ensure that all content on the platform is governed by its new contractual terms. So I can say that I've been to some YouTube meetings at YouTube where they're talking about the new subscription service, and they've used almost that exact same quote. What they had intended it to mean was always in reference to like the agreement that like CD Baby has with YouTube or a label has with YouTube, where you deliver your content to YouTube into the content ID system, and then they track and monetize music on YouTube. Well, with the new agreement, they're trying to standardize a lot of the various partner things that were in the past. If you remember old school YouTube, you could become a partner if you had so many views on your channel, and you could get, monetize your videos. And then there was various different partner levels, at least that's what I've heard. And so they were standardizing that, and in that bringing the streaming service under that contract as well. So my take on all of this is, everybody calm down. Your videos aren't being pulled from YouTube. What's happening, and they don't use very good language in the way they speak or speaking to the public here, and haven't released an official statement, but from what I gather, what they're saying when they say your videos will be blocked, what they're really saying is monetization on those videos will be blocked, not pulling down the videos. I have not seen a direct quote from YouTube that says, "We will pull down, remove from the service. You will not be able to see it or click on a play button for a video," because they are not in this, they do not sign up for the subscription service. If that's what they're saying, I have not seen that specifically stated from YouTube, but that's what the articles on the web were insinuating. But it just didn't jive with what I've heard, and it didn't make sense to me knowing how the platform works. So in reality, what they're wanting is to have music in the subscription service, because that's going to be monetized by ads, and they want the art, the music that's also available by the artist that corresponds to that music in the subscription service to be monetized as well. In order to do that, they have to be under the same agreement. So if you don't choose one, neither of them can be monetized. So you won't be able to monetize your direct video if you're not taking part in that. That's my understanding of it. I am perfectly happy to be wrong if that's my misinterpretation, but just knowing, putting all the pieces together from what I've seen, that's what's happening.
I saw an interesting quote on one of these blogs that you mentioned, where it said, you know, user-generated content is not going to be pulled, but it won't be monetized, which is sort of what you've been saying as well. And then one of the commenters said, well, that's piracy. Like, yeah, interesting point.
And that point that they said lends credence to, I believe, what I'm saying, that if they're saying that you'll know that those videos are out there, but they just won't turn monetization on it because, again, you haven't agreed to the contract. They put both of them under the same contract. So here's what it means for CD Baby artists. Are your videos going to be removed? No. You would fall under what is considered user-generated content. CD Baby is going to be delivering music to the new subscription service. And we are starting with the folks that have opted into Sync, and then we're going to move through the rest of the catalog. But if you have opted for us to deliver your music to all digital partners and we deliver you to YouTube, you will be monetized on the subscription service. You will not be getting your videos pulled down. You'll be seen as user-generated content and so forth. So for the average independent artist, I don't think there's going to be any change. And I'm not even sure there's going to be any change for major label artists except for whether or not ads are turned on their videos or not. I just know that a lot of the language in the quotes, the few quotes that YouTube has released, the language that they use is what I've heard them use only in reference to monetization. When they refer to accounts being shut down, or that typically means what's called the content management system account, which is what a label has or what we have at CD Baby in order to manage what we represent on YouTube. That's how the agreement you have to sign in order to manage Content ID, and the subscription service gives you that account. I agree with what Janelle Martins said on Twitter, that, you know, a blog ran a sensational headline knowing what would happen. And, you know, newsflash, people don't check the facts these days. But that being said, that doesn't really, to me, that's the only thing that makes sense that could be happening. I'm still waiting for an official statement from YouTube, but that doesn't speak to the fact of them kind of playing that angle to the labels that don't want to opt in. Because as you mentioned, that blog article you saw, Chris, that, hey, if you're going to allow all those users to upload videos and not remove them and not monetize them, then it is piracy, kind of.
Right. Well, and a lot of these blogs that are getting shared are mentioning the fact that indie labels are getting sort of unfavorable terms, and I'm so curious what that looks like. I would love to see what they're talking about. What's the difference between how YouTube negotiates with majors and how they negotiate with an indie? But I don't think we're going to see any of those numbers.
No, and that's where we really can't comment either. I mean, there is some interesting articles, if you want to search on the topic, that have come out this week about how a lot of these negotiations work at the major label level, and how for the major label artist, they may not even see any of the money that's being exchanged just due to technicalities in their recording contract. There, in fact, somebody posted one about Lady Gaga. They posted a section of her recording contract as it pertained to streaming revenue, and how when, you know, her label gets a giant payout to supply their catalog to Spotify, that she's not getting any of that money. It's just kind of like an upfront amount of money, and the way it comes about, it's kind of shady. So you can go online and read that stuff. Get depressed, yeah. but then be happy that you're independent, because it's we didn't do that to you.
Right. Well, and you know, I guess I could understand how the sort of fee, the signing fee, or the whatever you'd call that, could be different depending on what label you're working with, how big their catalog is, how popular it is. But I think per stream, I don't think the fee should be any different whether it's me or Lady Gaga. In terms of
and you know, that's one of those things where there's no way to actually verify. I know that when I thought it was Beats was saying that they wanted to treat everybody equally when it came to streams, but it's it's all about the backroom deal as far as like how they get the catalog. You know, they label 50 million, and you know the major labels have a 20% stake in Spotify. So if Spotify gets sold, which there's rumors that they're being, you know, Google might be interested in them. If they sold to Google, then the labels would get a 20% payout on that, and that would be money not going to artists again. So,
you mean trickle down economics doesn't work in the music industry?
Well, there has to be a trickle in order for it going down, in order for it to work.
Not just a giant reservoir with no beats.
It's a water tower that no one knows how to turn on. It's all sitting up there at the top. So anyway, it's just interesting that, you know, we've gone from, you know, there's like the big three major labels. I was thinking about this today where, you know, over the years, they've had a lot of the power, and that's Warner Brothers, Universal, and Sony. But now we have these like big three content providers that are sort of controlling the other side of it, and like being Apple, YouTube, Google, and then like Amazon emerging where, you know, because if you search a few articles about Amazon of recent things, you'll see a lot of these same kind of things. Labels upset, labels not putting their catalog in certain things. So interesting times we live in. So let's move on to our discussion topic that's a little bit happier, a little peppier. Is music dead?
Is music dead?
That's right.
Yes, end of podcast.
End of podcast. I'm sure everyone at this point has heard that Apple Music bought Beats. And they paid $3 billion for it. They didn't pay $3 billion just for the subscription service. I think that's a lot of erroneous reporting that was out there about it, that people were thinking, why would they pay $3 billion for a music subscription service? Apple said that they wanted, you know, they bought the whole thing of, you know, the Beats company, which includes the headphones, and, you know, Apple likes iconic brands, and it's really the first time they've done a deal like this where they've bought another really established brand and keeping it separate on its own without morphing it into the Apple brand. I know that the last music service that I can remember them buying was La La Music, which existed for like I think 6 months, and I remember it was like the week that I think it was you, Chris, told me, oh, I really like this music service, La La. And I'm like, oh, I'll check it out. And there was like, they got bought and shut down. So so there was speculation that that would happen, but that's not what's going to happen in this situation. But in a recent interview, Eddie Q, who's the head of iTunes, had some interesting quotes, one of them being this. I have it right here, the exact quote. Music is dying, said Q. It hasn't been growing. You see it in the number of artists. This past year in iTunes, it's the smallest number of new releases we've had in years. Honestly, I'm kind of baffled by that comment.
How could that be?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm looking at it from a CD Baby perspective where our signups are doing just fine, and people seem to be, where I sit, people seem to be putting up more and more and more music. So I wondered if he was talking about sort of those major releases that get iTunes, you know, the bulk of iTunes is promotional attention, if those are fewer and further between.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, there's not many artists that, even the so-called superstars, don't sell enormous amounts. And so maybe that's more of what he's referring, because, you know, our artist submissions here have been growing quite nicely year over year here at CD Baby. And I know our catalog is a decent chunk of what they have. It's like, I think it's like 11% or might be more than that. I don't remember, but it's a significant amount, enough that, you know, as our submissions grow, that it just seems like, how is that even possible? Because there's other distributors that are doing well also.
I think that there may very well be a trend that people are, you know, I don't think anyone's making any less music, for sure. I think that there may be a trend, though, that people aren't going the distance. They're not going all the way, you know, they're not polishing their album and actually getting it up on iTunes. You know, I mean, CD Baby's data doesn't say that, but that's not to say that through other avenues, you know, maybe record labels, maybe indie labels are not releasing as many albums.
Yeah, there was a couple things that came to mind when I saw this. One was, is music dying? I mean, consider the source. Is music dying? I would say, looking around, absolutely not. There's more music than ever before. There's more access to consume music, more access to make music, and other services are growing. Is it really what he was meaning to say? Is iTunes dead? Is that the feeling?
Right.
Well, that's how I took it. I mean, in terms of just sales of downloads are declining, or, you know, probably on the precipice of declining. I'm not sure what the numbers are, but I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, people listen to more music than ever before. I mean, that earlier thing about an average of four hours per American, or, you know, Americans listening for an average of 4 hours, like, music's everywhere.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that, you know, iTunes has been at the forefront of our listening habits for a long time, and it's getting a little bit long in the tooth. And, you know, one of the reasons why they bought Beats Music is because they felt that. And I also kind of think that Eddie Q probably got a talking to by his bosses after.
Well, yeah, that's what's weird, because, you know, I've, you know, we've worked with these companies for a long time, iTunes, Google, all those companies, and it is so rare that they are ever speaking in a way that editorializes or makes comment on the situation at hand. Very rare. And there's good reasons for it. When you work for a company, especially Apple, that's the most profitable company on the planet, that you say one little thing and you can spawn some sort of stock sell-off or drop in stock prices. So you're very careful about how you communicate. And to me, it was just very strange to see somebody like this say, you know, something that was kind of doom and gloom. It's the first time I've ever seen it happen.
The other thing I was thinking about is as he and the co-founder of Beats were talking, they didn't have any particular predictions for how this partnership between Apple and Beats is going to bring music back to life. Like, there were no details about how it was either going to benefit artists financially or how it's going to encourage artists to make more music. I mean, I guess maybe they're still working that out in their own minds, but it didn't seem like there was no bell that rang and was like, oh, that's really going to improve things.
Right.
Yeah. There was an article that there's several places that quote appeared. There was one that I found that had a few more quotes in it, and they talked to the head guy from Beats, and they really pointed to more of the idea of curated playlists, the idea of better experience to the users, making it something that, you know, music fans want again, that, you know, artists are excited about. So, I mean, I think they've thought about it from that perspective. I mean, anyone who's listened to this podcast for a long time knows that I love my Apple products, but I have to say the current iteration of the music player and iTunes store inside my iPhone is awful. It is such a disjointed experience. It's just unbelievable that they've let it kind of slip and it be to the point where, you know, I'm looking at something like, please, someone make a player that will actually consistently hold my music catalog without deleting files, moving them back to the cloud, moving them off, you know, just. And then, you know, there's just some weird interface things happening and some disjointedness that you would think that they would have bringing it all together. And so maybe they just decided, some people are pointing to the fact that maybe that eventually they're going to move iTunes into Beats, but I don't see that happening.
Well, and I definitely don't think curation or a lack of curation is a problem. Like, there's plenty of curation going on. It happens on blogs and, you know, all sorts of online sources where you can go and figure out what you want to listen to. There's, like, you know, you can use Spotify to power all these playlists and go to genre playlists, artist playlists, whatever. Like, there's plenty of places to find out what good music is. You don't necessarily need to get that curation from the retailer. who's basically just trying to sell you what's most beneficial to them.
Well, I think it makes it a lot easier. Like if you were to, you know, if you were to pick up your new phone and launch iTunes or launch Beats or whatever, and within a click or two, you have an awesome curated playlist of exactly the sort of music you want to listen to, it's going to be a very satisfying experience that might make you keep using and paying for the product.
I guess I feel like that is already out there. You know, you could use SoundDrop to access Spotify playlists. You can, I don't know, you can.
But all the things you're saying sort of sound a little bit more difficult than just, you know, I mean, we don't have this totally built in.
Yeah, and I've never been a big playlist user or creator. So to me, the whole curated thing is just, you know, I just go, it's not, I'm sure some people like it and maybe I just need to get into it. I haven't really used Beats Music. I've only used it on someone else's phone. So it may be something where if I try to be like, yeah, this is really cool. And it does help me discover new music and find other bands that I wouldn't have listened to before. But frankly, when I'm in that mindset, I'd rather turn on something like Pandora.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that the Music Is Dead, at least, or changing on iTunes that may be a cause is sort of the rise in direct-to-fan selling. I feel like whereas a lot of artists are trying out different direct-to-fans, they're doing crowdfunding, they're doing alternative ways of communicating with their fan base and distributing their music. And that might mean that not everybody's going through iTunes.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things that, you know, I've said here at CD Baby before, I don't know if I've mentioned on the podcast, but I do get a sense from artists. It's more anecdotal evidence and, you know, little things people say here and there. And the way I see artists going about their career, that leads me to believe that the shine is off iTunes. People don't see it as like this, gotta have it, otherwise I cannot have a music career type thing anymore, at least with a certain segment. If you ask me, I still think, you know, you should have your music everywhere possible that people might want to buy it, because there's iTunes users, there's Amazon users, there's a handful of Google Play users. And so you should have your music everywhere, so those people, when they want to use it or want to enjoy your music, it's at the place where they tend to go. But then, you know, having places where you direct your fans, your diehard fans, where, hey, if you want to really help me out, go buy my music on cdbaby.com. I'll make a lot more money. So, I mean, it just depends on who you're talking to.
Well, you'll make a lot more money, and the customer will get a CD quality download if they want one.
That's right. This portion of the podcast has been brought to you by CD Baby.
CD Baby.
So,
couldn't help myself. Sorry.
No. Please chime in. you just paid for this whole segment. So, yeah. So it was just interesting. Music Is Dead. I think I kind of understand where they've said, and I know Chris, you've joked a lot about Music Is Dead occasionally when art, usually in the framework of artists getting screwed out of something. I think that's mostly where it comes up when we're joking around, but where, you know, club bookers do something or somebody does something to screw over artists and whatnot. But
I mean, the thing is we basically, you know, with the beginning of the internet and you know, Napster, the music industry has been changing incredibly rapidly. It's just been one change after another, and it's hard for artists and it's hard for music consumers to keep up with the change. And, you know, Apple is like the first big music company that's really in the new media market that has like really become a Goliath. And now things are changing for them and they're getting uncomfortable. I think that, but the constant is change. And we just have to expect that as musicians and as music listeners, that things are changing rapidly and you just have to roll with the punches. And hopefully, you know, we'll see some really good changes and some really great things for indie artists.
I think the other constant that's part of that, I hope, is that there's tons of music out there. Everyone's got access to it. There's going to be way more created, you know, like there's no shortage of music. There's no shortage of ways to listen to it. People are consuming it more and more. Like, so music is in some ways more alive than ever. It's yeah. just the monetization, the distribution channels, all that stuff is changing rapidly. But
yeah, us musicians, we're a resilient bunch. You can't kill us off.
That's right.
if the state of affairs haven't killed off musicians at this point, nothing will. You know, we've always had our struggles.
I'm thinking some of those troubadours in Game of Thrones, they probably got killed by.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we just get scoffed at, laughed at, you know, our lives are never in danger. But, you know, the interesting thing was, and I was thinking about before this podcast, there was some comments I saw in some of these articles about YouTube that was making me think about, you know, someone was saying, let's start our own YouTube, and if that's favorable to artists, let's start our own thing. And it is kind of interesting to think that, you know, these giant companies that have, you know, are starting to get a reputation of bullying rights holders. If a lot of the creators and rights holders just leave, what would happen? Now, there's too much money involved for that really to happen. But what could potentially happen if in the creative communities that they do have such an anti sort of establishment, I will say, viewpoint on these services that they give, you know, they just create a different reality. I don't know if that's possible or not.
You mean like, I mean, you know, we've talked before about like cassette tape labels, people who are just bucking the internet all. I said bucking the internet. Hopefully that doesn't sound differently on the radio. Bucking the internet.
Why don't you say it a few more times?
And going straight to just physical media, you know, just like releasing cassette tapes or records or whatever, you know, like because that makes their product more rare and more valuable and felicitates more, you know, face-to-face person sort of economy.
Yeah, you can kind of say that. That's what happened with CD Baby, you know, when CD Baby was started. But I think it's a little different scenario in the digital world because it's while it's easy to make new platforms, it's also easy to make those platforms irrelevant if they're not done right. But you know, maybe the new distribution method is out of the back of the trunk. Artists will just start posting where their van's going to be, and you can get their music. I'm in LA today on this corner.
Do people still use Foursquare?
Yeah.
They do, and I can't figure out why.
There'd be some equivalent of that. My van is here.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, if you go to Hollywood, you will get accosted by hip-hop guys hustling their CDs on right in front of the Chinese theater. They're always there. They were there. I was there a couple months ago, and I just actually stood there and watched it going, man, I wonder if anyone actually ever takes a CD and listens to the music.
I was just, while you guys were talking, I was just thinking they should come up with a new kind of DRM, digital rights management, that allows, that makes it so music can't be played on anything but like analog, played or recorded or uploaded on anything but like analog devices, you know, some sort of secret frequency that like disrupts it if you try to like put it on your computer.
I'm sure Facebook, Google, Apple, they're all working on something like that. So. But all right, any final thoughts on iTunes stating that music is dead?
No, I think that they're wrong. I think they're not dead. We're not dead. We're still kicking.
Someone should write a song. Sounds like a song.
Mr. Billy? Mr. Music's not dead.
Yeah, I agree. To me, it was the first peek at maybe some concern that iTunes has as to where their own business is going. Clearly, they're not having a problem selling iPads or iPhones, but as far as like what they're doing with the iTunes Music Store, with you know some of the features that aren't so great these days on that, I think you know it's Apple. They can turn it around, but also the decline in download sales for them, and just some new competition popping up with Spotify and companies like Beats and all that. I think it was just a little bit of them showing their concern for their own business and not necessarily the state of the music industry at large. So if you want to weigh in on whether or not music is dead, you can email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. Call our listener line if you like at 360-524-2209. And by the way, that number is also listed on the podcast website, cdbabypodcast.com. I think the message will allow you to leave like a 2-minute message. So try to have your thoughts together. There have been some very entertaining late night, possibly drunk rambles that have been left there. But you know, if you want to get on the show, you know, try to have your thoughts put together. And if you have to call back to finish the message, I've had to put them together before, and that's fine. But, you know, have your thoughts together. And don't forget to tell us who you are. And if you're an artist or in a band, give us your band name as well. And, yeah, we'll try and get those on the show. And anything else we need to mention?
Nope.
Nope.
Well, oh, I should mention... Also, leave comments on the episode. You can leave comments on the show notes in at cdbabypodcast.com because we do respond to those, and there's some good discussion. There was some great discussion off of one of our recent episodes about should you pay to play, and it was fun to hear some people's experiences and got to see a few other scenarios that artists have encountered outside of the topics we covered on, you know, the typical scenarios we covered on the podcast. So check out comments as well. And yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, get out there and play some music and prove Apple wrong.
Music is not dead, people. We will survive.
We will survive.
All right, we'll catch you later.
All right, bye.
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 You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.